It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I am your host, Rachel C. Joining me on the program this evening, known best for his work with Tombstones in Their Eyes, it's the one and only John Traynor. But first, what's this I have here? Would this be new music from former guests of the show? A very special episode? Yes, it is. We're going to kick things off tonight with this new jam. This is called Introspective.
We'll be right back.
That was a very special episode with Introspector on Here Now with Rachel C. on listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you all for joining me again on this lovely Thursday evening in NYC. This is the show that celebrates live performance culture and activism in the arts. This is a part of the show where I tell you about things to go out and see and do because I want you to go out and see and do the thing. I haven't done that in quite a long time for obvious reasons, but I have two things to tell you about going out and seeing and doing. Two. Now. It goes without saying, use your head, people. If you don't feel well, don't go out and fucking do these fucking things. Okay. And there will be protocols that are to be followed and will be enforced. Now, first thing to tell you about. On Wednesday, April 28th at 8 p.m. at Berlin Under A, 25 Avenue A in lovely New York City, Love Child with War Violet will be performing, yes, a live music show, limited capacity. COVID protocols will be in place, so limited number of people at each table. The tables will be spread out. You have to sit at a table. That's how they kind of control the movement and the spread of the droplets and things like that. There is also going to be a food and beverage minimum. Please respect that stuff. Don't complain. Businesses, musicians, they've all been struggling. They got some rent to pay. But go and check out Love Child. They're a great band. Another thing I want to tell you about, on Saturday, May 8th at 8 p.m., my friend and former guest of the show, the one and only Liam McEnany, will be doing a stand-up performance at the Crane Theater. The Crane Theater should sound familiar to you because its proprietor was also a guest of the show. He spoke with us this past summer in my series of conversations with venue proprietors. That's a res. He'll be at the Crane Theater, 8 p.m., doing a stand-up performance. His opener is Rebecca Hart. She's a lot of fun, too. And there, again, will be limited capacity seating. I believe the bar is going to be closed. You have to buy your tickets ahead of time. Also, in this instance, you will need to provide proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID test. So that's an additional protocol you're going to have to follow through with if you want to go there in person. Now, let's say you can't, follow those protocols, or you're just really not ready to be in a theater yet. You can buy a live stream ticket to this, okay? Bonus. And you can get those tickets at frigid.nyc. So check out Liam McEnany and Rebecca Hart. And laugh your ass off in the theater behind a mask safely or at home, you know? With no mask and no pants if you want. And those are two shows I have to tell you about. So, another thing I want to remind you about is that we are a listener-supported station. I know it's a tough time for a lot of people, but if you are able to do so, I encourage you to flirt with that donate button right there. Another way you can support us is by visiting the merch store. Wear your RFB gear around town, perhaps buy a gift for someone, a mug, a tote, a tee, or a tank top. It's getting warm out there. Take some photos, tag us on the gram. It's a lot of fun, and we appreciate it. We like seeing you in our stuff. Also, if you have a moment, why not sign up for our newsletter, radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. It's the best way to keep up with everything we're up to, and we're up to a lot the next coming months. We're always up to something around here, but we're up to a lot of cool stuff. Once again, I appreciate you listening. I had the pleasure of speaking with none other than John Traynor this past week. He is a profound songwriter. He's always writing something, as you're going to learn if you listen to this interview, which I hope you're going to do. He has a band called Tombstones in Their Eyes. He's based out of the West Coast. And they worked on an album last year, but it was just released this year, and they're already working on the next thing. The group is actually more of a collective, if you will, at this point. We're going to discuss that a little bit, too. So I encourage you now at this point to kick back, relax, turn up the volume just a little bit, because it is a Zoom interview, as usual, and enjoy my conversation with John Traynor. I think you will. We're going to be listening to a lot of Tombstones in the Rise music, too. All right, joining me on the program this evening is the one and only John Traynor. John is a guitarist and songwriter for Tombstones in Their Eyes. They're based out of LA. They are typically thought of as a shoegaze, psychedelic, dark. I've heard you guys kind of thrown into the category of doom metal. I've heard you've mentioned in conversation alongside other wobbly bands. Wobbly is a category, it's a genre, I think, depending on what town you're in, or slightly wobbly. Welcome to the program, John, and let's just get into it. I'd like to talk a little bit about Tombstones in Their Eyes first. Let's describe it, because it's a band, but it's also a little bit of a moving collective, if you will.
Yeah. Right? Over the years, you know, we've had various people in and out. Primarily, I am the singer, songwriter, guitar player, occasional keyboard player. And so, you know, it's my project. And I've been lucky enough to have some great people join me. Yeah, and at this point, you know, through COVID, I've had, you know, our bass, longtime bass player Mike Mason move out of town. Our guitar player Josh Drew, one of our guitar players, is sort of off doing his own thing, and he has, you know, a brand new baby, and you know, so his status is unsure at this point. And you know, so, and then our, you know, did I mention Steven Striegel is our longtime drummer, and he is, he's a stalwart. He's sticking with this program, and he's gonna, you know, he's the main other guy really at this point. And then we have a new guy named Paul Booten, who's playing guitar, and he's fairly new to the band, and he's already buying guitars that match our sort of vibe, which is generally like hollow bodies and things like that. So it's cool.
Right. Listeners, who, if you couldn't tell by the sound, or we're talking on Zoom here, that's kind of been the custom for the past, oh geez, now 13 months or so on Here Now with Rachel C. I can see in the background all the hollow body guitars you have there that lend to the sound. Like as I introduced you, you guys have a sound, but it's definitely a very rich and developed and textured sound. Do you think the changing lineup has contributed to that at all? Because I mean, if I listen to your music now, and I listen to it, you know, in some of the older stuff, obviously it's evolved, but it seems like it's been fairly consistent. Like it's distinctly Tombstones in Their Eyes. There's a distinct.
Yeah. I don't think the lineup change ups, sorry, have affected it much, because primarily it comes through me originally in this basement studio that you see me in. And I have a friend, James Cooper, who started the band with me, who lives in New York. And he and I are the ones that sort of oversee the demo process. So that hasn't changed since day one. And, you know, so that's why our sound is sort of, it's grown definitely, but it's been consistent.
So you were collaborating with someone in another part of the country from the get-go.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's how this band started.
Yeah. So, and I'm wondering, with 2020 being what it was and all, so did it change? Were you kind of going back to basics then? Your album, which released on April 20th on 420, called Looking for a Light, fitting title there. That was produced, I assume, most of last year. I mean, it was that, you all weren't in the same physical space while you were doing that, were you? I guess I'm just wondering if you were kind of getting back to your roots in a sense, having to be spread out, putting an album together. Like, what was it like trying to put an album together last year?
Yeah, the demo process didn't change at all. And I wrote a lot of songs during the, you know, sort of COVID lockdown, Quarantine Blues being the first one that sort of started off the chain of songs for this record. And wrote a lot. And the problem was getting into the studio, because our process is write the demos, record the demos, and then go into the studio for live drums to be added and vocals mainly, and then mixing. So that was the hard part, you know, because with COVID, there was definitely some peaks and valleys as far as when people felt safe to do things like that. And then, you know, again, they didn't, you know, so we had a moment, I can't remember which month it was, where it felt maybe okay to do it. Things started to open up a little bit. And then, so we got in there for some drum tracks and vocals and stuff. And then there was a long gap, of like 4 months where it didn't feel safe anymore. And, you know, finally we just went in and did a few more tracks, you know? So, yeah, it definitely affected that. It made it, it strung it out a lot longer. And, you know, some of these songs, like I said, Quarantine Blues is now over a year old. And, but yeah, we got it done and we ended up with 13 songs. So we have already a start to a new record.
Yeah, so the new record must be feeling pretty old to you by now.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was done really, like, I had hopes that it would come out in 2020, but the record companies involved, which are Kitten Robot Records, who were newly on, and Somewhere Cold Records, who we've been on for a while, they sort of handle the physical side, and Kitten Robot is the new guy on the block, and they handle the some of the other stuff, digital and promotion and stuff like that. And they thought it was too close to the release of our last album, Collection. So, and then also we ran into some problems with the art guy. You know, there's always that, you know, unknown, you know, and I didn't know it was going to take him like 4 months to get me the cover.
Wow.
Luckily it was worth it.
Yeah, it is a beautiful cover. The whole thing is it's really interesting to listen to because it has that dark droney sound to it. Yeah. And it has, I mean, the titles of the song seem pretty heavy, but there's times where I'm listening to it and I'm like, there's something a little hopeful in the melody. It's kind of melodic. There's something a little light in there, if that makes sense. Almost.
Yeah. It's definitely the lightest of our records. And that's a sort of a jerk result of a few things. One being that when the band started for the first couple of years, I was in a sort of major depression and wrote a ton of songs relating to that. And then I sort of got better and things started to lighten up a little bit. And, you know, also it's just a progression, you know, it's like, whereas at one time I would always default to sort of not negative, I don't want to say, but, you know, sort of downer lyrics. I guess I got tired, you know, bored of that or whatever, you know, so now it's a little more varied.
All right. Right. There's definitely some variability on the album, but not in a, like, I'm confused sort of or kind of way. If I can ask, I'm just curious what you mentioned, having like had to deal with some major depression. What was last year like for you then, especially, you know, when I would say lockdown restrictions, I guess, were a little bit more intense. You're out in California where even now things have had to, you guys have had to have more restrictions because more recently, because there's, you know, the pandemic's peaking in ways that it isn't in other parts of the country. I mean, we're getting it pretty bad here again in New York, although they're not really restricting things as much, which surprises me.
Yeah.
We're considered actually to be at a really high risk zone right now. And it's like, oh, you know, you just want to open up some more. Okay. I'll be here. I'm in here. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, did you find it particularly challenging? I don't know. Some people are like, you know, different triggers for their depression. So,
well, you know, I'm on a pretty good, you know, medication mix right now that helps me a lot, you know, and that's kind of between that and therapy and some other things is how I kind of, you know, got out of that period. And, having said that, last year was pretty rough and it wasn't even COVID really. I mean, that was definitely a part of it. It was the political, you know, things that were going on were really hard to take, you know, and That was more likely what would throw me into a sort of a down state. And but you know, I work from home generally most of the time anyways. You know, I'm a IT consultant by day, and so I, you know, I work from my couch with my little dogs around me, and that wasn't that different.
Okay, so like day-to-day routines were not
Yeah,
you were not in a state of upheaval with all that. Yeah, what happened socially, politically was, I don't, if it didn't hit you in some way, I just, I think you're a little, you're just, I don't know, you're not letting it hit you. And sometimes you got to let things hit you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, even if it doesn't feel good, you got to feel something. Okay, on that note, we were here to talk about some music. Maybe we should drop some stuff
on the
new album before we get any deeper in anything. So the new album just dropped on 420. Looking for a light. It's called Looking for a Light, from Tombstones in Their Eyes. Let's see. Well, we were talking about the need to feel stuff. Why don't we listen to I Can Hurt All the Time?
Great.
All right. And we're back. You just heard I Can Hurt All the Time from Tombstones in Their Eyes on Here Now with Rachel C on listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn. So Tombstones in Their Eyes is a really fascinating name for a band, or collective rather. Right. Where'd the name come from for this project?
Yeah, people ask that all the time. And some people, you know, there are people who get it right off, because it was, it's a line from a song called The Pusher, originally written by Hoyt Axton, but made famous by Steppenwolf. It was featured in Easy Rider. And it's about, you know, the pusher and junkies. And it says, you know, so the line is people walking around with tombstones in their eyes, you know, meaning sort of, you get the meaning. So, yeah, so I chose that. And sometimes it's felt like an albatross a little bit, because I know a lot of people don't get it and they think, what is this? And, you know, are they death metal or whatever? You know, but at the time that it was chosen, I was sitting in this basement recording songs with James in New York. And, you know, I had no idea that this would evolve into anything larger than that, you know. So it wasn't, you know, I could have chosen many more names that might have been more evocative of what we really are. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Sometimes once you have a name and you put it on something,
yeah,
it follows you anywhere. You got to stick with it. I haven't always liked the name I have for my show here, but I picked it and it stuck a little bit. So I have to, I don't know what I would call this show. Yeah. It's like, I was getting ready to launch it and I'm like, I need a name for this thing. It was like, but that's a whole other story where the name came from. It was kind of a culmination of two things people said to me, two different people said to me, and I went, okay, smash it up.
There it is.
I mean, I had the format. I had everything else but a name. But anyway, I digress. So that's where the name came from. I'm just curious also about, because I'm always fascinated about bands that are more like collectives.
Yeah.
In general. How did the whole thing build? I know it started with the two of you, and it seems to be a little bit of the roster changing as life circumstances happen for people when you hear about things like some of what you said. But how did the roster, if you will, or the lineup build? Because it went from the two of you and we need a name and here we go to something that is definitely a sound collaborative movement here.
So James and I started and we built up quite a lot of demos, and I decided at one point that it'd be nice to get a couple of local people together and record a record. And so I chose a couple friends, and one named Sam Sherwood on drums and another gentleman named Josh Drew on bass. So we went into a studio and recorded our first record, which is called Sleep Forever. The record itself is spotty, I think, because we hadn't really found our sound yet. You know, I think about half of it sort of is in the ballpark of where I wanted to go, and the other half is a little more like, you know, I don't know what to describe it, but not horrible stuff, but, you know, we hadn't found our sound yet. So anyways, so that lineup was just for that record. And then I continued with the next record, the next EP called Bad Clouds. And that's when I hired Steven Striegel to play drums, and Josh still played bass. And we did that. And then we did the Fear EP, which we tried out another drummer and he was crazy. And we ended up bringing in Steven Striegel again. And at that point, Steven said, I really like the band. You don't have to pay me anymore. I want to be part of the band. So that was great. And let's see. So then we got a bass player named Mike Mason, and Josh moved to guitar. And that was the lineup we had for a few years. And but it's only recently that I sort of started to consider it more of a collective, because, you know, it's like at the point where I can do almost everything and bring people in to do parts if they want, you know. And like Josh is off, like I said, doing his thing with his kids and his new band, and you know, it's up to him if he wants to contribute. So he did bass on a lot of this record, but really everything else, and Steven did drums, and then everything else is me and a little bit of James and a little bit of Paul Rossler, our producer, who we should probably mention because he is really well known out here, at least. He's part of the original sort of late 70s punk scene. Was in a band called The Screamers, who are pretty well known as far as, they're like the most well-known band that never put out a record from the punk scene, is what they're known as. And yeah, he's a great guy. And he's our producer and sort of mentor.
You, everyone Googling The Screamers right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, they should.
Cue everyone under the age of 30 suddenly Googling The Screen.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also played, in Twisted Roots, which was a band around that time. And they can Google them. And Nina Hagen, he played with.
Yes,
for a while.
Of course, Nina Hagen. Yeah.
And, a bunch of other bands. But like I said, he's a fixture. He was friends with Darby Crash, you know. That kind of stuff.
As a matter of fact, every listeners, if you want a wormhole to go down, go down the LA punk scene wormhole. You'll have a lot of fun. We've talked about the New York punk scene a lot on Here Now with Rachel C because we've had some people who were part of it on in the past. Go down that LA wormhole. You'll have a very good time.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's really good stuff. So it sounds like you just fell in. It's just the people who kind of came into your circle were multi-instrumentalists and able to like switch it a lot too, which I'm sure I guess lent itself to this being a collective for sort of format. Like someone else came along, I can switch instrument, it's all right, I play this, I'll move over on I'll move over to this instrument if I don't have to stay on bass, I'll move to drums because I can make room for another person, which I mean really kind of explains the story of the sound evolving too, and but somehow maybe kind of staying consistent too over time because you're all sort of studying each other's stuff in a way, if that makes sense, and if I'm hearing it right.
Yeah, totally. And the consistency comes from the fact that I sort of like at one point I tried to make it more of a band and that didn't work as well for me because I want to retain control of the sound completely. You know, and you can't be a democracy and do that, you know.
Right.
I had a guy I know who's acquaintance who's in a very famous band, and he just said, forget about the democracy, you know, because, you got to have a vision and follow it.
I know someone who once said, these kind of creative spaces, theaters, bands, they don't always function well as democracies. Sometimes benevolent dictatorships are the way to go. That sounds really harsh, but
I agree with that. You know, benevolent is true because I'm.
That's the key word. There.
Yeah, it's very hard for me to tell people what to do and all that kind of stuff. So,
right. Yeah. On that note, before we get any further into the hour, let's listen to a little bit more music. We keep talking about everything that went into the music. Let's listen to some, and let's play something that maybe demonstrates the little diversity of the sound, especially on this latest release. How's Looking for Light sound to you?
That's great.
Okay. This is Looking for Light from Tombstones in Their Eyes.
Back home.
we just heard Looking for Light on Here and Now with Rachel C. I'm once again talking with John Traynor from Tombstones and Their Eyes. So we're playing music off this new album. Where can one consume this music, purchase it? Because you don't just have to stream it, you guys. But if
it'd
you
be nice,
stream it, yeah.
it'd be nice if people bought some of the vinyl and we have some CDs even. All of that is available at somewherecoldrecords.bandcamp.com.
All right. So obviously you said Bandcamp Fridays. Keep an eye out for that too.
Yeah.
Don't wait for it. If you're really eager, it's okay.
I don't mind streaming either, you know, but please, like you vinyl freaks, you know, this is a really cool package and you should get it for your collection.
I'm just curious also, because obviously this is something that was released, recorded, written in a quarantine year. Mm-hmm. Rather released now. Although, yeah, we're kind of in a quarantine year. So quarantine part due.
Yeah.
Part due, whatever.
Yeah.
We're still here. What is it like for you guys now trying, or given that you wrote this, you know, and with all the restrictions that were in place with regard to like touring and therefore promotion and stuff like that, performances.
Right.
What was it like for you guys going into the record release phase of this? You know, knowing, well, hey, we can't necessarily promote this the way we normally would. Because normally I ask artists who have just released an album or about to release an album, you know, what are your thoughts, plans for this thing? But it's kind of an odd question right now. And it's to ask artists right now. And I think it's an especially odd question to ask of a band or an artist who's based in a part of the country that's so hot with COVID right now. And I know there are so many restrictions. I know that in some parts of the country, some shows are happening.
Yeah.
But tours in North America, bands aren't touring. That's not happening. And I know that Tombstones in Their Eyes is a band that would have toured. So, I mean, what are the plans the band has, if any, for promotions or shows? Oops. Do you guys live stream? Are you thinking of live streaming? What's it like in LA right now? Are you able to do any kind of performances at all? I know at one point, I think in Northern California, there was some stuff that was allowed. Like, what's it like for musicians right now where you are?
I think live shows are coming up pretty soon, at least on a limited basis to begin with. That's what I've seen on, you know, some of the social media from club owners and other musicians. But so for us, I mean, I am kind of a studio rat, you know, and so I would have to get a band together to do that, to do it the way I want it to do it, you know, which would be, to me, my ideal is like the Brian Jones Sound Massacre, mm-hmm. you know, with like three or four guitar players, you know, and a keyboard player, and, you know, that would be ideal. So, yeah.
Right. And I guess, so what's it been like for you guys releasing an album now? Like, what are some of the, I mean, seems silly that, I mean, I know what the challenges are, but how are you guys like addressing the challenges, I guess, is the better way to phrase that question.
Well, with our joining Kitten Robot Records, they've got a pretty good, you know, promotional sort of thing going on, and they've been helping us a lot. So in that way, we've been getting it out there, you know, and then, as far as a live band, that'll start happening pretty soon. And you know, what always happens is I have to learn the songs because I write a lot.
Right.
And I write them and forget them, you know. So, you know, and it's hard for me to learn them because I'm getting older and my memory is not as good. So anyways, I remember our last show, it was March 7th, 2020, and I crammed for 2 weeks, you know, and finally had it down. And then, you know, that's the, like, literally like the day after is when they locked down LA, you know, so it kind of robbed us of a summer of playing shows, you know.
Yeah, it's been rough. What are your hopes for this record and I guess the new one that you're, because you're constantly, you mentioned you're writing them. What are your hopes for, I guess, the next couple of months to a year for Tombstones and Their Eyes, for projects? And I mean, any kind of projects, whether it has to do with, you know, writing or getting together to record or.
Yeah. Well, now that people are getting the vaccine, things are loosening up a little bit. And I've had, you know, two shots and so I won't feel as, you know, uncomfortable going into the studio, and our drummer won't feel, our drummer had COVID. So, you know, he's probably okay. So we'll be going into the studio again soon to continue working on the next record and start putting together a live band and hopefully get out there. You know, we were contemplating going to Europe last year, which I think is, you know, we do pretty well over there, and as far as fans and stuff, and so that would be a nice first tour, even if it's short, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the idea, is, you know, do what we can, wait till things open up, start playing shows, keep recording the record, and push this record. I mean, the goal for me of playing music is not the money, you know, like it can't be, you know, and it just doesn't work that way anymore. And, you know, there's bands that make money, I'm sure, but I spend way more than we take in, you know, and the goal for me is spreading the music out all over the world. That is a wonderful feeling when you can touch somebody somewhere else, you know, with something you've written or a piece of art or whatever.
Thank you for that. And let me help you with that. Let's spread some music right now. Let's, okay. What should we play?
Let's play Ship next. On the Sea. We talked about that.
That's right. And, we did play
that's
that
actually
one.
A love song, which is.
Oh, really? Tell me about that.
Yeah. It didn't start out to be one. Ship on the Sea. It really was meant to be like about loneliness, you know, the lone ship on the sea, mm-hmm. with no one in sight, you know, but it morphed into, like I said, a love song, and it's cool. And a love song that rocks.
Yes. So, right. This is Ship on the Sea from Tombstones and Their Eyes. And we're back listening to Here and Now with Rachel C on listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here once again with John Traynor of Tombstones in Their Eyes. We've been talking about, everything, especially the new album that just dropped called Looking for a Light, which was written last year and just came out this year because 2020 just slowed everything down, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did.
You guys are already kind of working on the next thing, although that seems to be the theme for you.
Moving. I wrote a song this morning while I was waiting for this interview.
Just waste no time, just constantly. So are you always writing for the next project? Is it just kind of, or do you hit the walls occasionally ever?
I get down here three or four times, maybe two or three times a week, and I found that consistency, because you write a lot of bad songs too, so you just gotta get down there, write a song. If it's good, you'll know it, and if it's not, you just move on,
This is a really great album. I encourage everybody to check it out. I encourage you to especially check it out on Bandcamp. And even if you're a diehard streamer, did you know you can stream on Bandcamp, you guys? You can stream it there. You can get it on all the major outlets wherever you get your music. But again, I encourage you to, purchase some vinyl. Purchase CDs, even if you're a CD person. But if you're a vinyl head, get your vinyl there. Thank you, John, for being a part of the program.
Thank you for having me.
Keep me posted as to everything the band is up to, the collective is up to.
We'll do it.
And we're going to play a little bit more music before you get going. And best of luck with everything. I just kind of feel like there's just a whole lot more ready to come from you guys. It's kind of like a lot of stuff is just bubbling below the surface there. And I'm looking forward to a time when you guys can get back on stage and stuff.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Europe. I know at least in the UK, there's tours scheduled, or shows rather scheduled, festivals scheduled. And they're not necessarily all UK based acts, although there's nothing, nobody out of North America that rings a bell. But, hopefully we're moving in that direction, hopefully at a safe pace, nothing
exactly
too crazy. I close out our little visit tonight with Wrong off the new album. Everybody, sit back, enjoy this one. I know I did. I think you will too. Thanks, John, for being a part of the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
that's gonna just about do it for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining me for yet another evening at Here Now with Rachel C. on listener-supported Radio Free Brooklyn. Come back next week. And remember, friends, do what you can to support performing artists and live performance culture at this time. Buy a ticket to a streaming show. Attend a streaming show. Buy some merch if you can. You know what? It doesn't cost you anything to spread the word about events or about a new album or about some stuff. That doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't cost you anything to tune in here either. Also, if you liked what you heard tonight, check out the show's page at radiofreebrooklyn.org and scroll down and see where all the old episodes are archived. That's going to do it for me tonight. Stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney. I'll see you next week. Peace.